Hey girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Welcome to a fun little bonus episode. I'm so excited that you're here because we thought it might be fun to do a little mashup highlighting some of the keynote speakers who will be in person live at our first Empower Her event in Phoenix, Arizona, October 21st through the 23rd. I hope you're coming. But you may have heard of Trent Shelton, who we're highlighting today. He is a best-selling author, the founder of Rehab Time, a former NFL player, the host of the Straight Up podcast, keynote speaker. He has literally touched millions of people with his words on self-worth and self-love and just recognizing your own greatness. But truly, how I think of Trent and why I wanted to have him as part of our first Empower Her Live event is because he is one of the most profound speakers I have ever heard. He seriously moves audiences of thousands in a way like no speaker that I've ever seen. I saw him, I remember literally vividly, the first time I saw him speak, I had tears in my eyes because I just felt intuitively, like in my gut, this visceral reaction to him because he was living out his purpose. And it really just helps me like borrow belief from him of what's possible for me. And I really think that he's going to have that connection with you too. And to be honest, he's also someone that I just really wanted to bring to this community because he embodies someone who's seen massive success, but he keeps his priorities in check. And he's one of the most humble, gracious and kind, just down-to-earth humans that I deeply admire. So this is a fun little inspo mashup that I think you're really going to vibe with. And without further ado, let's dive right in. So can you give us kind of an overview of Trent, football playing Trent, to Trent day in the life now?
Yeah. So like you said, football was my life. It was my identity. I mean, since I was young. And that was my dream, you know, and I made that dream come true. But kind of to fast forward the story, you know, once I made that dream come true, it was like my biggest nightmare for a lot of reasons. I think mentally I wasn't prepared to handle that, you know, with everything that came with it. And, you know, growing up, it was just my view of success, like what I thought success was. And I thought success was all these external things that, you know, that most people think, you know. So when I thought I got these things, I thought I would have a fulfilled life, a happy life. But I slowly realized that in having all these things, that fulfillment wasn't there. I was still missing something. And so instead of like the trend now would obviously like go search that, like where is that coming from? But then I just ignored it and tried to fill that void with just other things. And so NFL career, getting cut, you know, 9 or 10 times, 3 different teams, different cities, so I was an undrafted free agent. So it wasn't like I'm the superstar on the team. I was trying to make the team to stay there. And so it was tough because I never knew what the next day held. I mean, yeah. I could be at practice one day and literally after practice, I would get cut and sent home. So I lived a very unstable life, just from the job standpoint and from the emotional standpoint. And just my lifestyle in general is very unstable, up and down, all over the place. And it led me to a breaking point. You know, I was depressed, even though at that moment I didn't think I was, just for the simple fact I was a football player, I was a man. So acknowledging that back then was kind of a weak thing in people's eyes. So I always tried to mask it and suppress it. And I hit my breaking point in 2009, right after my son was born. He was born in 2008 in September. Me and Maria at that time wasn't together. It wasn't planned. Tristan wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. But I hit my breaking point. You know, I think any parent can relate, or just any leader, when you know somebody's looking up to you. And so Tristan was the point where I wanted to be like, man, I got to be a better man because I had a great example as a father. And I wanted to continue that tradition of being a great man for my son. And I remember being in my room in March. I don't know the exact date, but I know it's 2009. And I literally looked around my room and, you know, it was right after I got cut from the Seahawks. And I was just like, man, where's life going? And I thought about Tristan. I thought about just my life. And I just said, it's rehab time. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, besides putting the strength back into a weakness and controlling the things I could control, mind, body, and soul. And that started the journey of, you know, what people see today.
Can you talk about how it felt to actually be trying to get drafted and you're getting, you know, you think that you're going to get signed to the Seahawks and you're like at the airport, at least you talked about that in your book. I'm from Seattle. Yeah. So I remember the Seahawks part. So kind of talk to us about how you built up that resiliency and that while you were going through that NFL journey in general.
Yeah, it was hard because, you know, every time I got cut and I felt like I wasn't enough. You know, and that's like the first time in my life where, because I wouldn't say life was easy for me, but I was always the star athlete. So I never really dealt with a lot of rejection in my life as far as like, you know, not being the go-to person. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first time in my life, even after college, that I was like, dang, I'm not good enough. And I started to believe that, you know, instead of like fighting that with my truth and telling that situation that I am great enough and that just this situation might not be for me. So it was very hard. And I think the reason why I was so resilient in that is because I had no other choice. Yeah. You know, there was nothing else to my life at that point. I never worked a 9-to-5. You know, people say student athlete in college, that's a lie. You know, it's athlete, then student. So I didn't do any internships. And so it was no other choice for me. I didn't want it to be any other choice. I didn't know what to do with my life. So I had no choice but to push through. And it taught me, you know, I guess the beautiful part looking back, it did teach me how to be resilient. It did teach me how to deal with rejection. It did teach me how to deal with failure. And I realized looking back now that that made me strong, strong to the point of dealing with adversities now and just knowing that nothing lasts forever, just knowing that no storm lasts forever. Mm-hmm. And things will change. Even though things might not be working out your way, things can work out in the way they're supposed to work out.
Yeah, so powerful. And then kind of the flip side before I actually do dig into a little bit more about that purpose, because I think you've got a really cool perspective on that. I'm now thinking of the girl who's in Trader Joe's listening to this podcast, and she actually has, like, things are pretty good for her and she doesn't have a back against the wall situation. So she's like, Trent, oh my gosh, you're so inspiring. I love that. But I actually don't have that situation. How do I build resilience or how do I take action in my life if I don't feel like I'm in a really hard place? Cause like, you know, before obviously you were the star athlete and it's like, that's a little bit not easier, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it. I know just for me, even now, you know, my life isn't as hard as it was, but I love to put myself in certain environments, right? That forces me to level up, that forces me to grow. So, I mean, even from the standpoint of every single morning, I'm doing, you know, cardio, I'm running Eagle Mountain Trail, what's it called? Eagle Mountain Run. I'm doing my trail run. I'm on my bike. That's first of all, something I don't have to do.
Yep.
But I love to do it, not just from the health benefits, but from the mindset benefits, right? Because it comes to a point where I want to break down or I put myself in environments that help me grow my self-control. And so, you have to purposely put yourself in these situations, or I go attack my impossibilities. I go show myself, either way, like if I'm in a negative mindset where I'm like, I can't do this, I will go prove myself wrong.
Yep.
Or if I'm in a great mindset where I'm like, I can do this, I'm trying to prove myself right. And so that's a personal thing that, you know, you have to want to level up and meet the greatest you. Like I'm infatuated with, I was having this conversation earlier with my sister-in-law. It's like, it's crazy because, you know, there's so many things we inspire to be, like, as far as just outside, like, you know, but when it comes to ourselves, like, what does the greatest you look like? Like, why can't we meet that person? Why for most people, we just settle and just say, oh, this is my life. And for some people, like, that's what it is, you know, but for me, I want to meet the greatest version of myself, not just for me, but for the people that need me to be. And so I don't want to get to where I'm 80 years old, because if you look at research, number one regret with people is that, you know, they live so much of their life not for themselves. And I refuse to get to the 80-year-old me looking back and regret, like, dang, I should have did this, I should have did that. So that's what drives me.
Yes. When you kind of mentioned this with your identity being tied to back when you were playing football, and a lot of women that are listening to this are maybe in corporate jobs where, like, they're identity is tied to being a mom or is tied to I'm a VP of this or I'm a manager of this. How did you discover like how to take the first steps to disattach yourself from your identity being in football? Like for the person that's hearing this and is kind of like, oh, Trent, that makes sense. But like, what did it feel like when you're like, wait, who am I then? You know, like what's my purpose here? Like, or what am I trying to do here? How do I figure that out?
Yeah, well, I had to go on, and I'm still in this journey, by the way.
Yeah.
I just had to go on a self-reflection journey of who I am. You know, I had to peel back the layers. You know, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think since we were born, I think we have a good sense of who we are as kids. You know, I think the natural state of a kid, like they don't care about anything except love, joy, and just having fun. And I feel like that's our natural state of creation and who we are. But what happens is, I believe it comes to a point where somebody told you that you weren't good enough, right? Whatever it is as a kid. And I know I've had it with me where somebody said, oh, you're not good enough, or plant a seed of impossibility in your life. And so instead of fighting that lie with your truth, what a lot of us do is say, oh, okay, this doesn't work. I'm not good enough. Well, let me find another identity. And so then you become something else. And then that comes to a point where it's not good enough. Then you become something else. So over time, you have all these false identities. And so a lot of life is not about becoming, but unbecoming, especially, you know, when you get, you know, I feel like in your 30s and 40s, like it's about peeling back those layers and getting back to the core of who you are. And it's asking those questions, like what the definitions of your life to me control your life. So I can't tell you what your life should be like. Only you can define that. But what's your definition of success? You know, some people might say, well, it's this or that. And I feel like it's no wrong answer. But my definition of success now is peace. And so I operate my life from that. The meaning of, what is freedom mean to me? Right. And so I operate from that. And the more I've asked myself those questions of why, and I got back down to the root issues of my life, it helped me live a more fulfilled life moving forward and help me find out who I was truly created to be.
I hope you are loving this mashup. And here's the thing. I don't know if you're one of the hundreds of women who's already snagged her ticket for Empower Her Life, but if you're not, I want to make sure you know that tickets are still available and we've got early bird pricing at the time of this recording. So if you're loving this little mashup, picture connecting and seeing Trent in person speaking. He's going to be one of the 8 keynote speakers at Empower Her Live. And, you know, I can't give you stories of past events or anything like that because this is our first time doing it. But I want you to picture the vision. Being amongst 500 other women from all across the country and honestly even globe who listen into the show. Meaning like they have that gut feeling, that visceral just feeling in them that they want more in their life, their career, their relationships, their health, their business, whatever it is that they're working on. They're growth-minded women just like you. And being together in person, getting in the freaking room is life-changing. And as you know, this is a come with me community, which means we don't try to pretend like we have it all figured out. So I'm bringing in some of the best keynote speakers that have impacted my life in a massive way, but it's going to be very raw. This is not going to just be speakers on stage teaching you. It's going to feel very intimate. We've got lots of epic surprises planned for you. And, you know, we've got a lot of connection opportunities because I want you to meet other women that when they hear your idea, your vision for your life, your marriage, your business, your career, and it's a big vision, they're like, yes, girl, like, how can I support you? How can I, you know, make sure that you feel like you've got someone in your corner? The goal for this event is to have you leaving feeling seen and understood, but also lit up and inspired to take action with your one shot here on this planet. So the event itself starts on Friday evening with a live podcast, which is going to be such a cool experience. We've got a spicy margarita welcome party. And then the event is all day Saturday until around 2 p.m. on Sunday. It's going to be action packed and we've got a room block and all the cool deets for you. But if you want more deets on the event and how you can snag your ticket, or maybe you have a girlfriend that you're like, you know what? She needs to freaking go to this event. I want you to shoot me a DM on Instagram or text the word event to 512-548-2728. Again, text the word event to 512-548-2728 and we will get you all of the deets. Now, without further ado, let's dive back in. It makes me think also about part of it, talking about the environment. So a lot of people, like you said, you know, someone's either said something to them, maybe they live with someone that's chirping in their ear about their dreams and telling them that it's crazy, or they just have an environment around them where they're the most ambitious person in their circle, or they just feel stuck. Can you talk to us a little bit about your take on environment and maybe some of the tough conversations that you've had with people that were in your circle in order to up-level yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, definitely. Like, environment is my bread and butter. You know, I'm big on what you surround your life around. I'm big on friendships. I'm big on all of that. And so I realized this, I mean, and I can talk about this for 2 hours, but when I was in the wrong environment in my life, especially my football days, it was toxic for me. And I just believed in my mindset. My dad told me this a long time ago. I mean, we all heard this, like, what you surround your life around is what you're going to become. And I always heard my dad tell me that. I'm just like, all right, like, you're guilty by association. But I was like, man, whatever. Like, I feel you, but I don't feel you with that. I'll be all right. I can be around friends and not fall victim to that. But what I didn't realize when he was telling me, in my words, is like, mindsets are very contagious. And that's what happened with me. I was expecting to live like a peaceful, good, fulfilled life by hanging around in a toxic environment. And one of the illustrations that I love to use that can pretty much like bring a picture to people is just imagine you had a rose, right? That, you know, just maybe if it's even the seed, but a rose that had all the potential in the world to be the most beautiful rose in the world, all the potential. If you take that rose and put that rose in the wrong environment, that rose is going to die, right? And there's a quote out there, forgot the guy's name, but it says, when a flower doesn't bloom, you don't blame the flower, you fix the environment in which it grows. And so if you look at your life as that rose, you know, some of us aren't reaching our full potential. Some of us aren't blooming, blossoming because we're in the wrong environment. We're in an environment that goes directly against where we're trying to go. And I know it's hard to remove people from your life. I know it's hard to, you know, because, and this is all, I talk about this in my book, especially the Burning Bridges chapter, because the thing I touch on is, you know, people say don't burn bridges. Like, that's the whole thing. And I agree. Like, I understand that saying you shouldn't burn every single bridge over small stuff because you never know when you're going to need somebody, right? Or they're going to need you. But there are bridges in your life that need to be burned that lead your life back to destruction. And maybe that's people. Maybe that's your habits, but you have to let go of that. And it's easier to identify, not saying it's easier to let go, but it's easier to identify when you know it's toxic, right? You're like, okay, I know it's toxic. I need to get this out of my life. But sometimes, like you just mentioned, sometimes you're like, you know, you might be the best person in your environment, right? You might be the only one with that mindset. And everybody around you, they might not be a toxic person, but they might be, I just, for better lack of words, just want to live an average life, you know, whatever that means. You want to live a legendary life, whatever that means to you. And so there's people that are good people, but just not good for you. And that's what I had to realize with my life. In order to move up, there were some things I must have been willing to give up. And a lot of that was tough conversations with friends, but I had to put myself in a growth environment, an environment that pushed me to grow, an environment that made me uncomfortable, an environment that called me out, an environment that held me accountable. That was a big thing with me. I had a whole bunch of friends that I was destroying my life, but they were holding me accountable because they knew that if I woke up, then they weren't going to get a lot of benefits from my life, right? Getting the club and all this stuff. So they were watching me destruct my life. And now I get around people. If I'm slipping, they check. So yeah.
Yeah. People that are listening to this right now that are in just a really tough time in their life. Obviously, you've gone through so many ups and downs, which has given you, like we talked about, the resiliency, and it has given you the ability to be so empathetic. Like, even just hearing early on about how you started with all of this, which I'd love to get into that a little bit too, that pain was really a powerful reason that you've seen the success in terms of impact right now. So to the person that is in pain, can you talk a little bit about how that can serve them?
Right. So I'll break it down like this, how to turn your pain into your power, just to kind of give them some steps.
Yeah.
Well, I'll break it down into two parts. So I have my rehab process that I always teach from. Even people don't even know I'm teaching from it, but it's 3 R's. It's reality. And that's the first step, to face your reality. And the thing that I love to say is, you'll never win your war by running from your battle, right? If you never face it, you'll never fix what you're not willing to face. The second R is release. Release is, and this is actually how the book is structured, by the way. We just don't have the sections labeled. But release is, you know, just removing the things in your life that need to be removed, and repairs, you know, getting the things in your life that will help better your life. And so when it comes to turning your pain into your power, the first thing I would tell you is, you have to acknowledge it. like you have to acknowledge it, that it's there, and you have to be real about it. You know, you can't sugarcoat it. You can't try to make excuses for it. You can't sweep it under the rug. You actually can't sweep it under the rug, but it's still there. You know, it's still going to, going to be there, and it's going to take up emotional space, and it becomes emotional weight in your life. And so you have to get to the point where you acknowledge it and you say, you know what, this sucks, but if I want to get to wherever I want to go, I have to get through this, you know, whatever that situation may be for you. So the first thing is acknowledge it. The second thing that you want to do, and this isn't a one day thing, by the way. This might take a year.
You know? No, this is a lifelong thing. Like, we're still doing
right? It's definitely a healing. I always say healing is a lifelong process. And so the second thing is you got to own it. And this is the hard part, because it's like, own it. Like, why would I own that pain? Like, why would I do that? Like, it didn't serve me. And so one of the best strategies that's helped me own my pain than the obvious of, you know, it helping other people is I ask myself this question: how did this make me stronger? Right? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this. Like, so you find the positive in it. So with me with the NFL, it's like, yeah, it hurt to go through that process of being cut. But if I would have never got cut, I can promise you, I wouldn't be sitting right here doing this podcast. And so think about that. Like, how did it make you stronger, right? Find empowerment that serves you instead of keeps you stagnant in your pain. And then the last thing is share it. And I think this is the most beautiful part, is when at the right time, you share it to the world, right? You help other people. You know, it's people might say, well, I don't have value. Listen, I never thought my story was, you know, incredible story. Some of you listening to this, you have way better stories than I do. You've been through so much more. The thing that my mom told me, and I'll never forget this, is that she said, somebody, you can reach people that other people can't reach. She said, everybody can do that. So the person listening to this right now, there's souls waiting for your story that I can reach, that nobody can reach but you. And I know this might sound a little bit insensitive, but I just got to step on your toes for a bit. It's selfish for you not to give your story to the world. It's selfish because you didn't go through that just to go through it. You went through that for a bigger purpose, and a purpose that's greater than the pain that you experienced. And what's crazy is that your past pain will become somebody else's future strength. And I think that's the beautiful thing about, you know, going through something, because it qualifies you to help other people get through it.
Yeah. Talk to us about how you get moving and why it's going to pay off for whatever someone's pursuing.
I'm trying to be,
You don't need to be PC. They're used to me.
It's like this. You know, I don't want to like bring down the mood when people listen to this, but it's real. Like, life is not promised. Period. 150,000 people die every day, 55 million people a year. And none of us know when the time is. And this, one of my best friends told me this and it changed my mind forever. We're talking about age. And I was like, I'm 30 some, I'm getting old. He was like, how you know? You don't know if you old or you young. He's like, let me tell you something. He said, how old you are doesn't depend on your birthday. Like, as far as your years, it depends on how much time you have left, your death day. So he's like, you can be 34 and be super young. You can have to 100 years old, or you can be 34, you have 2 years left. So he's like, you never know exactly how old you really are, you know, how much time you have left. And so to the person out there, you know, I'll tell you this, it's your life. You know, if you want to get to the end of your life and live your life with regret, I ask myself all the time, what really matters? You know, and what really matters to me is leaving a legacy. Les Brown says it best, the richest place is in the graveyard. So many people go there with empty visions and empty dreams. And I know some of you might be waiting on your opportunity, waiting on somebody to help your life. And I hate to put it to you like this, but straight up, like, nobody owes you nothing. This world doesn't owe you nothing. And what you could be waiting on might not ever show up. There was a time where I was waiting on people to bring me on stage. I was waiting on people to open doors for me, and it didn't happen. And so what I did was, instead of begging to get in someone else's building, I sat there and built my own building. And I've been doing this for 10 years, and it took a long time. But every part of the journey was worth it, because now I get to live life on my terms. Now I get to, you know, do things how I want to do it. When people told me, hey, Trent, you shouldn't dress like that as a speaker. You didn't go to, you know, Toastmasters. You didn't do all the training that you should do. You shouldn't talk like that. You should talk like this. And I knew that wasn't me. And so at first it was a struggle, but now I'm able to, you know, I think that's the unique thing about me, that I'm able to be on stages and be myself and stuff like that. So put in the work. The most important work you ever will do is the work that you do on yourself. And I love to talk about, I think when you get this book, read the championship mindset part, and I'll be very quick. Number one is commitment, right? Stay loyal to what you said you were going to do, period. A lot of times we make decisions emotional based. That's great. Motivation, inspiration. It is not enough. The second thing is discipline. Get good at saying no to the things that don't get your yes. The third thing is consistency. Show up regardless, period. The fourth thing is faith. Believe in the odds are beatable even when the odds say it's impossible. And the fifth thing is heart. You know, find the strength to give more even when everything else said you have nothing left. Like, it is your life, right? Just think about that. It is your life, okay? You either can have regret or you can get the most out of your life. That choice is on you. But don't get mad at other people who are doing things with their life that you should be doing.
Yes. Oh, gosh. That's so good. Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.